get prepared for the week. That long work week. Continue to remember the pastor and his family as they are on vacation. They went to church this morning, had a good service, and it might be that they're watching us tonight. So if they are, hello, Pastor. We miss you. Enjoy your vacation and get on back here, man. Luke chapter 4 tonight. Luke chapter number 4. The gospel according to Luke. It's not the gospel of Luke. It's Jesus Christ's gospel. It's the gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter number 4 tonight. A couple of verses of scripture and they're familiar and we've heard Sunday school lessons taught on them, and we've heard sermons preached on these lessons, and this is the verse with the 2,000-year comma in it. Amen. We'll see. Look at verse number 16. The Bible says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read." It was Jesus' custom to go to church. Well, I ain't got to go to church. You ain't got to do nothing. Jesus went to church. So all that home church stuff you talking about, Jesus wasn't into it. Look at verse 17. "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again unto the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" The title of the sermon tonight is, "And he closed the book." Brother Ted and Matt, would you pray for us, brother? Thank you, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We love you, Lord. Amen. A lot of information in a book. Books. I have a lot of books. I like to read books. Books are good for you if they help you in your spiritual life and you walk with the Lord. We shouldn't read any book more than we read the book. We got to be careful about that, but a lot of information in a book. Here Jesus is reading a book, and it tells us about the prophecy of his coming. So what it said. Look at verse number 18. "He found the place where it was written," in verse 17. "It said, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" That was a prophecy in Isaiah 61 of his coming. Not only just his coming, but his reason, the reason for his coming. To set the captives at liberty, to set them free, those that are in prison. And that was you and I. We were in prison to our sin. We were held captive. There was nothing we in our flesh could do about it. And Jesus Christ hung on that cross and shed his blood and gave his life that we may be delivered from the penalty and the power of sin. Amen. That's Bible. And this book tells us that. It was his coming was the fulfillment of the prophecy. That's what he said. "This day is this prophecy fulfilled in your ears." The most important information ever in the history of the world is found in this Bible. There's some good books in this old world. I got a book of sermons, some by Sam Jones and old preachers. They are good books. I like to read them. D.L. Moody. I've got some good books. You probably got some good books also with some good information in them. But the most important information that man's ever heard is in this book. It's in this King James Bible. Books hold records, have accounts in them, history. The book of 1st and 2nd Kings and the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles are the chronicles of the kings of Israel and Judah. That's what they are. They were chronicles, historical accounts of the kings of Israel and Judah during that time and how they reigned and how God worked in the nation of Israel at that time. And it's found in books. Books can help teach. We homeschool. My little girl has her books and my wife has the teacher's edition. It's got the answers in it, amen? That's the one I always wanted when I was in school. Books will guide us. Spiritual matters, matters of life. Books can help us to learn. Brother Jeff Thomas was studying to get his contractor license. He had a stack of books about this high. Take three grown men to carry them around. Studying those books, they were helping him learn what he needed in order to get his license where he can go on with what he wants to do as far as earning a living for his family. The book was delivered to Jesus, the Bible says right here. Said he opened the book. And then you'll get those Greek people. Well, the Greek word says that it was actually a papyrus scroll. The book said it was a book, amen. So it was a book. I don't know what it looked like, but whatever it was, God calls it a book. So it was a book. The Bible is God's book. There are some good spiritual books by good spiritual men, and thank God for them. But this is the inspired, inerrant, infallible, preserved words of God in this King James Bible. I don't care what kind of book it is, you can study it and learn it and get to the bottom of it. But you'll never get to the bottom of this book. You can read that same passage of Scripture for 1,000 years, and that 1,000th year and first day, you'll open that book and something will jump off the page at you. Because it's a living book. It's God's book. It's God's words. It tells us how to get to God. That's the most important thing you will ever learn in your life. How to get to God. Because we're all sinners. Our iniquities have separated between us and God. It's separated. There's a separation there. And we must be reconciled. And the book tells us that the only way we can be reconciled is through trusting Jesus Christ and His shed blood for reconciliation to God. That's what this book tells us. The Quran won't tell you that. Those other holy books won't tell you that. The Bible's the only book that'll tell you that. It tells us how to please God. If you're going to come to God and be a child of God, you ought to have some kind of desire in you, in yourself, to please God. The Bible says in Revelation 4:11, that's the whole reason we were created, to please God. His book tells us how to get to God. It tells us how to please God. It tells us the final destination of all men is one of two places. There's a sweet heaven to gain, and there's a hot hell to shun, the Bible says. That Catholic abomination, purgatory, you pay your sins for a while, and then you get out. That is a lie from the devil. When you close your eyes in death in this life, you are going to go to one of two places. If you've been born again by the grace of God and trusted Jesus Christ for your salvation, heaven will be your destination. If you have rejected Jesus Christ, I don't care what kind of works you have, I don't care how you lived your life, if you rejected Jesus Christ and never been born again, hell will be your destination. Amen. And we know that because this book says so. There was a time Billy Graham said that, and he quit. He quit saying that. He's not the authority. This book is the authority. That's what this book tells us. Now, Jesus read these scriptures that are found in Isaiah 61. setting the captives free, loosing the prisoners, healing up the brokenhearted. We know that he didn't read all of that section of Scripture. He left the part of vengeance of the day of our God out. That's the 2,000-year comma. Because the first part in Isaiah 61 has been fulfilled 2,000 years ago, but that last part has yet to be fulfilled. There's a comma, that's a 2,000-year comma. 2,000 years between one side of that comma and the other. He read the Scriptures, and the Bible says he closed the book. Close the book. He sat down, and the Bible says all eyes were on him. And he said, this day is the Scripture fulfilled. That means that that Scripture, that prophecy was fulfilled. It was finished. It was over. It was done. When he closed that book and said that, hey, that prophecy would never have to be fulfilled again.
Amen.
God had kept his word. God, through the prophet Isaiah, had gave a promise, a prophecy that that one would come and heal up the brokenhearted and set the prisoners free and the captives. He had gave that prophecy, and when Jesus Christ came, he fulfilled that prophecy. God kept his word. Who knows God? God always keeps his word.
Amen.
God had kept his word. Our lives are like an open book. Your life is like an open book. There's opportunities. Opportunities to do good. Opportunities to do bad. Our life's like an open book. There are chances in our life to do this. Shall I go here? Shall I go there? And we should be seeking the Lord. That's what we should do. That's what we should do. Our life's an open book. And you have one life to be lived. Stinking soap opera stole that one. That's a good sermon title, ain't it? One life to live. Stinking filthy soap opera stole it. But you have one life to live. You will not get a second chance to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ in your flesh. You just won't. And some of us are at different places in the book, aren't we? Some of them are way down here in Genesis, aren't they? And they're running around here and crying and running into church house and digging in their nose, and they don't know no better. We still ain't told them not to dig in your nose, amen? Some of us, we're about Isaiah Christians. We're probably about halfway through that thing. We're Isaiah Christians. We've lived a while and learned some things and done some good and done some bad. And some of us are Revelation Christians. We way over here in the back, man. Some people are. You get to be 75, 80, 85, 90, you are a Revelation Christian. Thank God for you. But you can stand back now and you can see how things used to be. And see your life. And like John in the book of Revelation was lifted up, and he saw the things in the past and things that were and the things that were to come. You can see the way they used to be, and you can see the church and how the church has progressed over the years, and you can see the end. The thing is, you don't have to be old to be a Revelation Christian.
Amen.
We don't know when our point of time is. You can be 20 years old and be a Revelation Christian at the end of your life, and you just don't know it. Our lives are like open books. And when God closes that book, it's over. It's a done deal. When God closes the book on your life, it's over. There's nothing you can do about it. God calls people to things. He calls all people to some things. And he calls some people to other things. But he calls people. And we need to be sure that when God gives us a call, you and I need to be sure to answer that call before God closes the book on that call. Just because he calls you doesn't mean he's obligated to leave that book and that call open forever and ever. Say, well, the calling of God or without repentance, you right? You can be called to preach and mess your life up, and you be the coldest man in North Carolina to preach, and your life can be such a mess. Nobody lets you get in the pulpit, and nobody listen to you when you preach. You can be the coldest missionary to Mexico, but if you mess around in your life and kick and kick and kick and decide not to go, and God closes that book, you can go to Mexico all you want, and you just as well stay at home, because if God's not in what you're doing, there's not going to be any fruit come into your life. We need to be careful to answer the call of God in our life while He has that call open, before He closes the book.
Amen.
I'm afraid God is going to close the door on some people's call. First thing He's called us to is sacrifice. Turn to Romans chapter 12 with me. God has called all people, all of His children, to some sort of sacrifice. Some are called to sacrifice one thing. Some are called to sacrifice another. We're all called to sacrifice some things, but God has called all of His children to sacrifice. Look at Romans chapter number 12. Verse number 1, we know the verse. The Bible says, in Romans 12 and 1, I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Is God calling you to sacrifice? Now we understand the sacrifice of money. I believe we understand a little bit about that around here. Man, our missions goal last year, we raised 20% over the mission goal. Thank God. That's a blessing. I don't know if you're aware what kind of blessing that is, but next time a missionary comes in and they get a check from us every month, just ask them, say, is that a blessing to you? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And then our mission goal went up. Thank God for it. And I believe we're going to meet it again. And we took more missionaries on. You've heard the goal of mission program is that the sun never sets on your mission program. We have a mission program that the sun that God placed in that sky never sets on our mission program. That sun always, 24 hours a day, is shining on a missionary somewhere in this world that we support, and we have a part in their ministry. And I thank God for that. That's a blessing. I believe we understand financial giving. But I wonder, are we willing to sacrifice the most important thing we have? And that's not our money. Some people it may be. But the most important thing that you have is time. You say, well, I don't know about that. You run out of money, you just might run up on some more money. You might get another stimulus check, amen. But you run out of time, and guess what, friend? You ain't getting no more time. When I say ain't, it's serious business. When you run out of time, you ain't getting any more time. The most important thing we have is our time. Are we willing to give up, sacrifice some of our time that we spend acquiring things and pleasing ourselves on our families, on our ministries? I know God's a God of a second chance and a third and a fourth, because if He wasn't, none of us probably would be here, amen? And I thank God for that. But the question is, if we know to do things right the first time, why don't we? If we have the benefit of things that our parents and our grandparents didn't have, and have people to tell us and lead us and guide us and teach us, you know, things can never replace time spent with your family. The Lord's really, really backed me into a corner and dealt with me some things this last two and a half years about work and money and things and family. He really has. Bible says you should work. Nothing wrong with work, man. And we know the scripture, if a man don't work, neither should he eat. If a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. But the Bible doesn't say what you should provide. It just says provide, right? You know what takes time? Time. A godly marriage. It takes time. You know what takes time? Godly children. They take the sacrifice of time. I work with a man. He's a young man. He's got a young son. He said, told me this week that he is on full-time child care patrol. His wife's doing something, so he's having to watch the boy. And he said, man, I don't mind, though. I said, well, I can tell you one thing. I said, you will never get a second chance to raise that boy. You may have another boy and get a second chance with them. You may have a girl get a second chance, but when that child that's yours is grown, you will never get a second chance to spend that time with that child and raise that child. So you always got it right, preacher. You better believe I ain't always had it right. I got one that's 25 and one that's 11. You know, you can learn a lot in 14 years. Man, you can learn some stuff in 14 years. I have more patience now. I think I'm just old, beat down, and tired. Just don't have the strength to fight like I used to. And I'm not beating anybody down for water under the bridge. There's a lot of people that need to hear this because they're still raising that child. They're still raising that little one. They're still making that decision about my work and how much do I work and where do I work and what do I do with my time? Is it about me and my pleasures and my desires? I know a man, he works well over 100 hours a week. Well over. He lives right beside where he works and he works well over every week of his life. He's got a wife, but he just will not. Godly marriage, godly family, it takes time. A balanced Christian life. God's a balanced God. Amen. He's a just God, but he's a merciful God also. He's balanced. And a balanced Christian life takes a sacrifice of time. You got to read. You got to pray. You need to spend time with your family. You need to work. That work's in there, right? All that is necessity. But let me tell you something. You choose your lifestyle. You make the choice about your lifestyle. Where you live, what you live in, what you drive, how many you drive, what kind of retirement you're going to have when it comes down to the end. I hope you make it. If you don't, somebody else is going to spend it. There's nothing wrong with saving. Nothing wrong with planning. But are we willing to sacrifice some of that to have that kind of home and family and fellowship with the Lord He wants us to have? You know, I wonder, are we willing to sacrifice our children? What? Sacrifice my child? You ain't Abraham. God ain't calling you to sacrifice your child in that way. But are we willing to sacrifice our children to the service of the Lord? Because God gave them to us, right? Sir, God gave them to you. Ma'am, are you willing to take that child that God gave you and say, God, I love them. And you know what? I may have hopes and dreams for them, but I'm going to raise them just like you told me to raise them. And I'm going to train them up. And God, you take this child and whatever you would have this child to be, and do, they're yours.
Amen.
Are we willing to sacrifice our children? Y'all heard me talk about John Patton, the missionary. He went to New Hebrides in the 1700s, a long time ago. And his dad, his father, wanted to be a missionary. He had the desire to be a missionary. Saved man, godly man, that had the desire to be a missionary. But you know what? God just didn't allow it to come to pass. And it was all right. He got married, had a family, and went to work. That's just what men do. But you know, he worked, and he raised his family for God. He taught his family to pray. He read the Bible with his family, had family devotions, had his family in church. All the things that a godly man does, that's what John Patton's father did. Wanted to be a missionary, God wouldn't allow it to come to pass, so he just turned right around and raised his family for God. And John Patton said after supper, his daddy would go to their bedroom and he would pray. And he said it won't no running around acting like a fool when daddy was praying. He said, you were tiptoeing around like you was a church mouse when daddy was praying. That was daddy's time to pray. But he said he could hear his father praying, praying for his wife and praying for his children. And Lord God, use my children. Take my children and you do what you please with them. I'm going to raise them godly for you and you use them. You take my oldest son, John. John Patton said he heard his daddy pray. You take my oldest son, John, and what you want him to be, Lord, you have him to be. You call him to preach. You send him to work. You let him be a missionary. Whatever you would have him to be, I give him to you, Lord. That's the kind of prayers he heard from his father growing up. That man was willing to sacrifice his desires and goals for his child, because our desire is we want our children to have it better than we have it, don't we? Don't we want that? That's what we want. You know, you grow up poor and your mom and daddy work their fingers to the bone and work themselves to death, and everybody says, go get some education. I don't want you to have to work like I've had to work in my life. But John Patton prayed for his son after that way. And you know what? God did just what he asked. God called that man to be a missionary. And John Patton said he was going to get on the ship, going to the New Hebrides, and he and his father were walking down to the docks. And didn't know if he was going to see his father again. He got onto the ship and sailed off. Went to the New Hebrides and got married and had a child, and they all got sick. His wife got sick and died. His child got sick and died. He got sick, so they sent him back home to recover. And he recovered, and he was called to be a missionary, so he left again. And said he walked back down there one more time with his daddy to those docks to get on that old sailing ship. And said this time some years had passed, and his daddy had gotten older, and his daddy was frail. And said he was getting that ship, and he knew in his heart he'd never see his daddy again. And said he sailed off on that ship and he's waving to his daddy, and his daddy was waving to him, broken hearted because they'd never see one another again. You know what that was? That was an answer prayer.
Yeah.
That was that prayer he prayed. God, take my son and use him as you see fit. You know what that man was willing to do? That man was willing to sacrifice his child to God's service. And you know what come about it? Thousands upon thousands of those head-hunting cannibals heard the gospel and believed on Jesus Christ and got saved, and they're in heaven right now today because that man was willing to sacrifice. Many people want their children to succeed, but they only think materially. You know, I thought about this thing. I love my little girl. But I'd rather have my little girl serving God in the jungle And I would, living like hell in the good old U.S. of A. I'm afraid that God's calling some of us to sacrifice, and if we're not careful, God's going to close that book.
Amen.
You know what else God is calling us to? He's calling us to service. Preacher's been preaching a lot about service lately. Y'all caught that?
Amen.
Think maybe God's trying to tell us something. Maybe God's trying to tell me something. Look at Romans 12 and 1 again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When you present your body a living sacrifice, that's just a reasonable service. That's what's expected. That's like the bare minimum of what you should do for your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe God's calling us to service.
Amen.
What's He calling you to? We live in a strange time, man. We live in the COVID time, don't we? If you'd have come to me in January and talked to me about COVID and wearing your mask and 6 foot, and man, I wrote you off as a lunatic. Ain't nobody going to make me wear no mask. But that's the society we live in, isn't it? It can be dangerous to your life serving the Lord. But you know what? Serving God's always been dangerous. Missionaries go off and get sick and die in diseases, and preachers throughout the church age, you know, preaching the gospel and get locked up, and there wasn't a lot of social programs back then, right? We're going to go down and get us a eat big time card, we'd be taken care of. When that man was locked up in jail, that family, they had to root hog or die. They had to fend for themselves. It's always been dangerous and trouble and turmoil serving the Lord. Why should it be any different for us? George Mueller, y'all ever heard of him? I've been reading a lot of missionary books lately. Y'all probably can't tell that, can you? George Mueller, he's known for his orphan homes. Orphan homes, thousands of kids, gave them the gospel, people got saved. But first and foremost, that man was a preacher, and that man was a minister, is what he was. Pastored a church throughout his whole life. Pastored a church. Him and another man pastored a church. That man was a preacher. That man was a minister first and foremost. And the town they lived in, cholera broke out one time. That's an awful disease. And at this time, it's like water contamination most of the time. And you know what? The town had one water source. So when it starts breaking out, you just better batten down the hatches, because everybody's going to get it and most people are going to die. And the only solution they had was that if you had the resources, you'd just leave town. Pack your stuff up, head to the country house, and get away from it. When it was over, you could come back. And so George Mueller's wife, it broke out. People were sick and dying. And George Mueller's wife, man, she wanted to leave town. She said, "We've got to go." She said, "We're going to get sick." She said, "Our little girl is going to get sick and die." And George Mueller said that he couldn't go. He said, "God has called me to minister to these people." He said, "God's called me to preach the gospel, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is more than that." He said, "The gospel is tending to sick and dying people also." He said, "That's what ministers do." Can you blame his wife? She's thinking like a mama. How are you going to blame her, right? Can you blame George Mueller? He's thinking like a called man of God. You can't blame him either. The Bible says that a living sacrifice is reasonable service. We live in a time where if you go to the hospital now, they're going to lock the key on you and you're not going to see anybody. You go to the nursing home, ask Brother Terry. Somebody in a nursing home, you're not going to see them. You might get to see them through a glass. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's godly. And they have programs for end-of-life situations. You get called in. You know what that means? That means when they're about to die and they're incoherent and they can't understand. If they are lost, you can give them all the gospel you want, and they cannot receive it, and they're going to die, and they're going to go to a devil's hell. And it's not right. It's not right. Will everybody go? Probably not. But I think we ought to go if we want to. I've been calling the nursing home all this week. When can we get back in? That's the hot spot, right? When can we get back in? Those people are locked up for 6 months. They don't know anything about a Facebook service. They all got jitterbugs, man. They ain't got no smartphone. What about their spiritual needs? What about the gospel we used to go in and preach to them? Might cost us something. And you hear a lot about how the Christians were quiet and let them take prayer out of school. You hear a lot about that, don't you? Maybe something to it. You hear a lot about how we were quiet, let them take the Bible out of school and let them take the Ten Commandments down. You hear a lot of preaching about that. How much are we hearing about them people locked up in the nursing homes and the hospitals, and the governments tell us how we should live our life and how those spiritual things aren't important, and we got to shut the churches down and the gospel can't get out and we can't gather and we can't worship and people died and going to hell? I wonder if 20 or 30 or 40 years if we're going to look back at this time, if the Lord tarries, and say, man, we dropped the ball. We let them take prayer out of school. Man, we dropped the ball. We dropped the ball. Let them take the Ten Commandments down. Man, we dropped the ball. People have been dying for years and years and years and going to hell because we wouldn't make them somehow let us get into these places and give people the gospel and minister like what they need. It's service. Sometimes service costs you something. I can tell you what. My neighbor, Miss Mint, was in the hospital. And I had done made my mind up. Somehow, I was going to go down there and I was going to break in that hospital. I was. I had done made my mind up. It was going to happen. You done said that on the World Wide Web, brother. I done made my mind up. Don't know what it was going to cost. I'm white. Might not have got shot to death. I was a black man. It might would have shot me to death just because. I don't know. But I done made my mind up because I loved that woman. And she was in there weeping and quiet, crying and coming to the end of her life. And she needed help. And they will not let God's people and God's ministers help God's people. And it ain't right. There's come a time, the more this thing goes on, our service is going to cost us. It's going to cost us more than some stinking statue of a man that's been dead 150 years. It's going to cost us more than that.
Amen.
I hope God's not going to close the book on our service.
Amen.
Because we won't do what He wants us to. You know what else? I believe God's going to close the book on salvation for some people. Well, I just come anytime I want to. No, you won't. You can say, Lord, Lord, all you want. But if God's not dealing with your heart, you just well save your breath. We all know the story of rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man went to hell. He had his chance. It was over. And he wanted Abraham to send Lazarus over, old nasty beggar, and dip his finger in some water and just put a drop of water on his tongue. Abraham said, there's a great gulf fixed. He said, well, Abraham, he said, send somebody to my 5 brothers and tell them not to come to this place. You know what Abraham told him? He said, they have Moses and the prophets. Abraham said, they have the book. But you know what that book was to those men? It was a closed book to those men. They had rejected it. They wouldn't receive it. I'm glad you're here tonight. But I wonder, have you ever been born again? I know you know what to say. We know how to dress and what to do. And I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation. I can't do it. If God gave it to you, and you hang around here very long, you're going to be sure of it. That's the way God wants it. But if you've never been born again by the grace of God, and God's dealt with your heart tonight, I pray that you'll come down here and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul before he closes the book on it. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Come play something. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you have a need tonight. Maybe a sacrifice. Maybe a service. Maybe a salvation. God knows. God knows what you have need of. Don't let God close the book on you.